John 1, 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Thank you, Trey. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I have the honor and the privilege and the heavy responsibility of bringing God's word to you this morning. Aren't you glad for God's word? Amen.
Amen.
This is a powerful passage of scripture, but before I get into the message, I want to bow our heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for who you are, Jesus, as the Logos, the Word. And God, as we look at the name of Jesus this morning, as we transition from the names of God to the names of Christ, and we look at the Logos, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that we will really feel the impact of the truth of what John is communicating to us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And God, I just pray that you would make your strength perfect in my weakness as I present your word. And may you be honored, and may our hearts be moved by the truth of your word today and the reality of Jesus as our Logos. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I did come to preach, not play. But just to set up what I'm going to attempt to do today is I'm going to attempt to put this in this without deflating it. Now, I do some gospel magic, but I'm not literally going to do that. Folks, this represents the scripture that was just read. There is so much here. This represents how much time I have to preach it. So pray for me as I attempt to take on this task, and I think with the help of the Holy Spirit, we'll manage. I could easily take this passage of Scripture and preach a 4-week series on it. To me, it is one of the most powerful and fascinating passages of Scripture in the Bible. It captures and embodies truth about Jesus Christ on so many levels. It also refutes so many heresies and false teachings about Christ at the same time. Now, Donald's not here, our very qualified apologist. But if he were here today, he would probably say amen to the fact that this passage is an apologist dream. And while I want to be careful not to go too deep in the time I have to share here, I do want us to grasp this morning the significance of Jesus as the Logos, which I will be unfolding here this morning. And I want you to see how significant it is to us being able to understand who Jesus Christ really is and the significant truths revealed in so few words by John. I see the wisdom of the Holy Spirit inspiring John to write these words. It's not an accident that he chooses the word logos or word for Jesus. I often think of the power of words, period. I find it astonishing to see the power of words and how they move men and women. We often underestimate the impact of our words and how they convey a message and influence the lives of others. But there's no greater word that influences and impacts than Jesus as the Word or the Logos. You know, words can encourage or they can devastate. They can guide or manipulate. They can calm or they can stir up. They can build up or they can tear down. Words can bring peace or they can bring war and conflict. They can be soothing or they can be savage. But today we'll see the wisdom of John, how he takes this term logos and puts it in a perspective of describing who Jesus is. As I done some research, this just kind of lit up to me. How that John was using the word logos in his time in a very significant way. According to Greek philosophers of his day, the term logos was seen, and we're talking about just the word logos, was seen as the power that puts sense into the world, making the world orderly instead of chaotic. To the Greek philosophers, the logos was the power that set the world in perfect order and kept it going in perfect order. So it's important that you get what I'm saying here this morning in introducing this message. The Greek philosophers saw the logos as the ultimate reason that controlled all things. And they also believed that when you spoke the logos or the word, what you spoke embodied you. Or it could be said what you spoke became visible and tangible. So John met both Jews and Greeks where they were at and explained Jesus in terms they really already understood. In Hebrew thought, the logos, the word, was another expression for God. So let's take these two definitions, the Greek philosophers, the Hebrews, and you combine the two. So in combining the Greeks and the Hebrews' understanding, you would have this definition. Jesus was God, the ultimate reason for everything, who spoke and made God tangible and visible. Isn't that powerful? To see the wisdom of the Holy Spirit in capsulizing this powerful truth of who Jesus is. So first, John connects with his audience through the significant word logos, but then he unfolds the reality of what he is revealing about Jesus Christ through it. And I want you to note here, if you look back in your scripture here in verses 1 and 2, it's interesting how John begins with the word logos, or word, in the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But notice the transition here. He now goes from logos to he and him. So he wants to make sure that we understand this term logos is a person, not just an ideal or an image. And then, of course, as we go on down, he makes it clear that it's Jesus Christ. In this short passage, John unfolds and reveals who this logos is and establishes a truth that is so profound it's hard to wrap your mind around at times. But it's foundational to our faith. And let me just reiterate here, it is so foundational to our faith. That's why these truths this morning are so attacked by false religions, false teachers, and cults. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk through this as bullet points for the sake of time. And we're going to capture what he's saying here about Jesus, starting with verse 1. The Logos reveals to us that Jesus exists before creation. Jesus is eternal. In the beginning was the Word. And this ties directly to Genesis 1:1 that says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And note, we need to understand this morning, as we wrestle with our culture and we wrestle with our world and we deal with people who this truth has been undermined or erased out of their grid, we need to understand that if we undermine Genesis 1:1 and John 1:1, we undermine the entire Word of God and the truth of the gospel and Jesus Christ and who He is. Are you with me this morning? Do away with the beginning, and you have no hope at the end. Let me say that again. You do away with the beginning of what God's Word says and what Jesus and God do, and you do away with hope in the end. The second bullet point of Jesus' Logos. He was with God prior to coming to earth. The Word was with God. Again, this is significant as it communicates to us the truth that God and Jesus are inseparable. Let's say this is before creation, eternity before, which again, we can't comprehend. Jesus is with God. Then we come to creation. Jesus is with God. Then we come to the incarnation where Jesus becomes flesh. Jesus is with God. And then we come to eternity forward. Jesus is with God and is God. I'm not going to go into all the depths of that, but that comes from the verbiage in the original language of what it means for Christ to be with God. And then next, the Logos, Jesus is God. The Word was God. And Jesus himself reinforces this truth in John 14:9. He says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Again, inseparable. And then the next bullet point is, as Logos, we see the preexistence of Christ. He was with God in the beginning. And then verse 3, as the Logos, Jesus is the Creator. All things were made through Him. And this ties to the creation account of Genesis. So when we read Genesis 1 and the account of creation, Jesus is responsible in the work of the Trinity for all created things. And then in verse 4, as the Logos, Jesus is the source of life. He's the giver of life. It says, in Him was life. I love John reinforcing his own truth again. It's interesting, as I was doing this message and I'm studying this first portion, how often John really goes back to this that he establishes in chapter 1. He's the source of life. And in John 5:26, For the Father has life in himself, and he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And let me just say real quick, we need to grasp this. God doesn't need anyone or anything. Amen? Jesus doesn't need anyone or anything. He has life within himself. Hallelujah. That's why the grave could not hold him. That's why he's the resurrection and the life. You and I, we need a lot to sustain us. And I'll confess, I'm a very needy person. I couldn't be doing this, folks, if it wasn't for the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit to enable me. But God doesn't need anything. He is everything, and so is Christ. And so in both of them, they have life within themselves. And then we go on to verses, the last of 4 and 5 and 9. Jesus is the true light. In him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. That light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. There's a lot of darkness right now. I don't know about you, but I feel it at times. It burdens my heart this morning to see all the darkness in our world and all the hurt. But folks, be reminded and be encouraged this morning. There is no darkness that will ever overcome Jesus Christ, the light. It's not possible. It will never happen. That's why our hope is secure this morning. That's why we can be at peace when the world is in chaos. Because we have the ultimate reason, Jesus Christ, who speaks into the chaos and gives us peace. He'll speak into your life if you'll let him. If your life is in chaotic sin, God can set you free and he can give you order and peace and hope and assurance. In John 8:12, again, John reinforces what he's already said. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Not only will darkness not overcome Jesus Christ, it won't overcome you if your faith is in him. Then, as the Logos, in verse 12, Jesus is the means of our adoption. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. And I love what John says in 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. Do you recognize that this morning, folks? If you put your faith in Christ, you're a child of God. Amen? And then verse 14. Jesus became human to live among us. The incarnation of Christ. This is John's version of the Christmas story. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He became the tangible Son of God, Emmanuel, with us. Aren't you glad for that this morning? It's like I've had conversations with different people. If it wasn't for the fact that Christ came to earth and I was looking at all these telescopes looking down and how lost the earth is in the universe, that would make me believe there's a big God, but it would make me feel like I'm not noticed. But Jesus came to earth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So we know this morning that he loves us and values us. So why is this passage so important to our faith and beliefs about Jesus? First, it makes it unarguably clear who Jesus is. And second, in knowing the reality of who Christ is, it guards our hearts and minds from false teachings and heresies about Jesus Christ. It exposes the lies that are in the circles of those who have and are perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, it makes known to us a God who is tangible and whom we can know and have a personal relationship for ourselves. Aren't you glad you can know him? I'm glad Keith knows him. I'm glad Judy knows him. I'm glad all of those who know him here this morning know him. But that's not enough. I want to know him. I hope if you're here this morning and you haven't put your faith in Jesus Christ, God will create such a hunger in you to know what we're talking about this morning and experience him for yourself. Because if you just have an understanding that it's clear who Jesus is, and you understand how it exposes the false teachings of cults and false religions, but you don't have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you've missed the point and the purpose of this gospel. We must be able to do more than just argue a case for Christ. While John does do that here, but his purpose is so that we may know him and believe in him and have eternal life in Christ. John reinforces this in John 20, verse 31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. That's what it's all about. Praise God for apologetics. I love it. It helps clarify for us and give us evidence that Jesus is real, that this is not an ignorant faith. This is a faith based on reality. But at some point, there needs to be this intersection between the information and the truth of God and our lives that transforms us and changes us, begins to do a work of holiness and sanctification, making us like Jesus Christ. Now, I do want to clarify that Jesus as the Logos here is both distinct from God the Father, but equal to as well. But again, I want to say it again, even more, he is inseparable from God as the pre-existent Christ, as they and the Holy Spirit work equally in union to accomplish creation and every other act of the Trinity. But we need to look at what are the benefits of having Jesus as Logos in our lives today. Folks, this morning, because Jesus has spoken, because he is the Logos, because he is the living Word, we are or can be forgiven. Amen? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that reaches to the depths of darkness and sin to cleanse and forgive. We're brought from death and deceitfulness of sin into a life of righteousness and holiness. In Ephesians 4, 22 through 25, he talks about putting off your old self and putting on the new. And I love the wording of it because here again, we see God the Father and the Son and the work of the Holy Spirit doing a creation because we put off our old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self created. Only God can do that, folks. Created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And then we are made one with Christ. Galatians 3, in God, Christ and God's people. In other words, this is what binds us all together with him. In Galatians 3, 27 through 28. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ. Aren't you glad we're part of something here this morning? That this journey, we're not living it alone. We're not living our Christian life by ourselves. We're not doing our mission work by ourselves. We are part of a greater unity in Christ. The next thing is, we have a way to the Father. Very familiar scripture, John 14:6 again. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me, the Logos. And we're a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, and the old is gone, the new is here. I just want to pause here for a minute. I want to go back to the statement I made. Do you remember if we do away with Genesis 1:1, creation, and John 1:1, Jesus in the beginning of creation? Do you see how often we're seeing creation in these scriptures? Over and over again, we're seeing creation. And if we do away with that, these would be done away with. I'll move on. We have a place prepared for us in heaven. I love Jesus' words to us and the disciples. In John 14:1-3, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We can know God for ourselves, John 17:3. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And we have power and authority because of Jesus Christ, the Word, the Logos, over the enemy Satan. James 4:7, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And we're set free. John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. So what do we need to remember about Jesus as the Logos, the Word, this morning? We need to remember Jesus, the Logos, the Word, has spoken. Jesus is God's spoken, eternal, undebatable Word and truth. Amen? And so we have creation because he spoke. But Jesus, as the Logos, is still speaking. And this is critical, folks. He didn't just give a message and then leave it. He's still speaking. He's still working. His Word is still transforming lives today. I love the evidence of it when we have a baptism and a testimony that shows us that the Logos is still speaking. He has not gone silent. And he's still speaking to us today. But then there's one more thing. Jesus, the Logos, will speak once more. Jesus is God's spoken Word for all eternity. He is coming again. Revelation 22:12-13. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And because Genesis 1:1 and John 1 is true, we have hope because he has the last say. Amen? Jesus, the Logos, living Word of God, wants to speak into every one of our lives today. If we have unconfessed sins, he wants to forgive us as we confess those sins. If we're still in some bondage, he wants to set us free. If we're broken, and folks, even as believers, life breaks us at times, amen? He wants to heal us and make us whole. If we're weary, He wants to give us rest. What do you need to hear from Jesus, our Logos, today? I'm going to go back to the two definitions of the Logos. According to the Greek philosopher's term, Logos, we would say, is Jesus the power that puts sense into our world and makes our world orderly instead of chaotic. Jesus is the ultimate reason for everything that controls all things in our life. It controls and should direct our decisions and our desires and our eternity. He's here today. Amen? Have you sensed Him today? As we worshiped, as we said He is worthy, I heard Him speak to my heart. My heart was moved because He's worthy. Your heart was moved because He's still speaking right here, right now, in this service. And I don't have the knowledge of God, but I know that He's speaking to different one of us wherever we are on our journey. And the word's going to be different for each one, tailor-made, because that's the kind of God He is. He knows every person here. He knows the burdens you carry, the responsibilities you have, the things you're facing. But here's the big question. Are we listening? Everything I said is true. But are we listening? I want us to bow our heads this morning and let's just listen for a few moments. Then I'll close in prayer. But just ask God, God, and there's many a times I go before God and say, God, what do you want to say to me today? Help me to hear it. Help me to listen. Help me to stop and listen and let you speak. So I'm going to be quiet and we're just going to listen to what the Logos has to say to us this morning. Lord, in our world, a lot of times silence makes us uncomfortable. I'm not sure exactly why, other than the fact that we're used to filling our lives with a lot of things, a lot of noise. And it can be dangerous to get quiet before you because you expose truth. But Lord, that truth, the purpose of your truth is a truth of love that wants to set us free. Forgive us. Cleanse us. Bring peace to our storms. Bring hope to our despair. And Lord, I appreciate all the good Christian music and how it speaks into my life at times, but there's times I need to even turn all that off and just listen to what you have to say. God, we need to hear from you. Our only hope is to hear from you. And so, God, speak to each of our individual lives, whatever we need to hear this morning. Help us to let go of the illusion of control and let you be in control of our lives. May we surrender to Jesus, the Logos, the living word, and allow that living word, you, Jesus, to do your work in us. Help us as a church collectively to listen. Help our elders, which I strongly believe in and pray for this morning, help them, Lord, to hear what you have to say to them as they lead us. Speak to us as a congregation in what our responsibility is in our relationship with the church and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, don't let us miss what you have to say through the word Jesus, the Logos. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.